That music means it is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill, a weekly conversation with Dr. Deborah Stroman. She's a UNC faculty member and a University of Virginia professor, but also a sports businesswoman and does so much within the sports media landscape, including hosting If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill, where occasionally she talks with other folks in the sports business industry. Deb, happy Friday. How's it going?
I am struggling, Brighton. The allergies are so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm one who likes to go outside and ride my bicycle. I like walking. And for the past 2 days, I've stayed indoors because I have to figure out what's the best way without using real medicine to clear up my nose. So it's tough, but hey. God is good. We're alive and we have jobs.
The smoke from the wildfires, it is pretty wild. And you have to wonder whether this is something we'll have to start worrying about a little bit more and more as time goes on here in North Carolina. That's definitely been one of the things everybody across the country has been talking about. Something that in the sports media landscape that is being talked about today is that the worldwide leader, ESPN, has announced a big wave of layoffs, specifically for on-air talent. So a lot of recognizable names for folks who consume ESPN content, people like Jeff Van Gundy, who's an NBA analyst, Susie Colber, an NFL show host, Todd McShay, and tons of other folks that people will recognize. And it's just kind of the latest round of cuts that have been happening at ESPN as the Disney CEO Bob Iger cut about 7,000 jobs of behind-the-scenes workers back in February. I think it's fair to say that we know that the sports media world has definitely seen major shifts over the last decade or so, and so it doesn't come as a surprise, but it's always really jarring when this happens, and especially jarring for, I think, fans and viewers when it is the on-air faces of ESPN coverage. So what is your reaction to this news today of a pretty wide wave of layoffs at ESPN?
Well, there's no doubt it's been a week of record-breaking news, right? Everything from the Supreme Court decisions to now moving to the sports world. When we look at, I would arguably say that ESPN is the sports channel, you know, entertainment sports network that has helped all of us sport lovers to go to the next level. As in, they came into the channel was developed. It came into our purview, and it just dominated. In fact, ESPN is just like CBS and NBC and ABC for many of us. I believe that it started in the late 70s. And to have ESPN in the midst of all these other ways that we can absorb, that we can take in sports, ESPN is still, as they say, and we believe, it's the flagship. And so to have all these people that due to our fandom and watching games through the ESPN lens, we've come to love or like some of these on-air personalities. And so we take it pretty personal. Now, you know, I'll say for the two of us, we're pretty good with it. But when you look at social media, there are people who are going absolutely crazy. Like this was, you know, their mother or father just lost their job. So again, we know fan is short for fanatic, and so we're seeing that with these cuts. But there's a lot of things to unpack here. First off, I'll say the economics of it all. These media rights, NFL, NBA, baseball, hockey, not so much, but still it's big. It's demanding. You got to pay these bills. And when you look at personalities who have seven-figure incomes from ESPN, number one, it speaks to that's how much money ESPN is making to pay them. But now we see that, no, it's not easy and you have to let them go. And so I just asked the question, NBA finals, big NFL games, we'll watch the game or won't we if our favorite personality isn't there? I think it's the game. I don't think it's the on-air personalities.
I completely agree with that. And the stats tend to back it up as well. It is still live sporting events that these days, you know, that is the reason why people tune in for TV. And there are several other, you know, scripted shows and all that stuff that draw big ratings. But when it comes to live events, it is almost always going to be sports stuff. And that drives up the price for what channels like ESPN have to pay in order to broadcast those. And it is interesting as well, Deb. You know, it feels like the sports landscape has gotten a lot more flattened and decentralized, because anybody can kind of use any outlet or any platform of their own and not necessarily have to rely on ESPN like they did back when the channel happened. What happens, do you think, for fans? You say everybody's reacting to this news, some positively and some negatively, because maybe they care about certain people who deliver them analysis or deliver them news from ESPN. What happens, do you think, as fans and how we consume sports when the reporting and the analysis kind of gets decentralized and you have all of these different places to get your information from?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it goes back to capitalism. You know, people say they're for capitalism, they're for open competition and free markets, but oftentimes, in fact, I would argue more often than not, people really don't understand capitalism and what the consequences are. And so now we have to be more knowledgeable and trained on how to really work our computers, right? How to stream, how to, you know, go in from these different technologies, how to watch things on our smartphones, you know, the second screen, all of that. It requires some technological skill. Now, I believe at my age, you give something to a 12-year-old, an 18-year-old, and they can figure out the technology. But what about this group that's 45 and older? You know, what's going to happen with us? I've seen it time and time with folks in my circle that are struggling, like, where's the game? Well, it's streaming on this. Well, which Apple? How do I find that on my TV? You know, the go-to has always been click on ESPN and you can find it. And then, of course, you've got the merger of all these technologies within your TV. So I own a Sony. My main TV is a Sony Android, and yet I've got Apple TV running in it. And I'm going in and out, dipping different inputs and everything. And because I'm determined to watch my sports and to get informed, you know, I figure it out. But I'm thinking about the folks who don't necessarily have that same determination, but yet they would be listed as a fan. They would get listed in the evaluations and the demographics in terms of who watching. But will they turn off now because they can't figure it out, right? So that's important, keeping up with the technology. The other sense, you know, to your point, it is around content creation. You're giving athletes, coaches, administrators, casual fans the ability to create their own and stream it in different ways. You know, you see different pieces that are cut in YouTube, knowing that it's going to be difficult before they find you and shut you down. But then, of course, the folks who do have access and who can pay and who don't necessarily have a big budget to create all this and buy media rights, they know somebody and they can, you know, run their own show on some athlete's life and, you know, what their journey is. So it's just an interesting time for content creation, entrepreneurship, and then being technologically savvy.
It does feel like we are not too many steps removed from what the news landscape, you know, the hard news landscape and the local news landscape kind of has gone through when it comes to sports. And, you know, with the rise of many former athletes being able to have their own podcasts and current athletes, even like Draymond Green, able to share his thoughts on his own platform, sometimes as soon as the game is over. In my mind, it makes it so I think we're going to get to a point where fans, of course, will see the sporting event, but instead of before, where you would rely on ESPN or you rely on newspapers, beat writers, columnists to share, here's what's happening on the insider, here's what we know, kind of to get that to that next level. There are all these other places that you can go to get that information, but people are going to interpret it different ways, or the people who are hosting those shows, sometimes, you know, self-proclaimed analysts instead of people who might have the actual chops to do it, they could then be sharing something that isn't necessarily as true or isn't necessarily as defining as what we see out there on the court. And it's so different because, you know, when it comes to news reporting, Deb, you know, at least from what I do on a day-to-day basis, like, the facts are facts and the truth is the truth, but there's always, you know, the gray area too of you're trying to get something right. With sports, it's so different because so many people are watching it as it happens and there are defined rules that must be followed. So it's tough to kind of move without of those bounds, but especially in a transaction focused sports media landscape and all of these other things where we're now focusing on so much stuff happening off the court, I could see things getting very murky there too, as more and more, you know, very credible people move from ESPN, whether it's by choice or whether it's by ESPN's choice.
Well, you brought up a lot of great points. I want to double down about real journalism versus somebody who has the mic or the pen. We have to consider, we have to think about the people who've done the work, who put together a portfolio or reels while they were in high school or college or graduate school, and then they want a slot. And yet some fans would prefer just to hear the athlete and their perspective, regardless if they aren't aren't trying their best to be objective, or they aren't using perfect English, written or orally. What does that mean? And what will young people mirror? What will they, you know, how will they view that role model? I'm going to be just like that person. That's the way I'm going to, you know, make it happen. So there's a lot of interesting things to think about critically. Think critically about this. But again, when ESPN does this, it's like that old E.F. Hutton commercial for those of us who remember. When ESPN talks, people listen. And so this is definitely creating a big splash in the sports world in terms of, you know, losing. I won't say losing, making the decision that economics comes first.
Yeah, and it's fair to say, too, that while they're cutting costs in this way, you mentioned having to spend money to get those media rights to air the live sports, also spending money to get different personalities. They just shelled out a huge contract to land the Pat McAfee show. They've got both of the Manning brothers under contract making content for them. And, you know, there's all of these other ways that they are exploring different and non-traditional at this point, you know, shows and analysis and stuff like that. But if you're allocating money toward those bigger celebrities, it means that some folks who, you know, have their own celebrity status and who are not quite as big, talking about like Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams, Max Kellerman, all those guys who just saw their ESPN radio show cut and who are being dropped, you know, that ends up being the cost.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shout out to Hassan Pinto, because I'm thinking about how we could create content. And if I weren't landing my plane now and moving on to next chapter, it's something I'd think about is creating a content, a television show around Duke Carolina sports. You know, where are they now? What's going on currently? Because there are thousands of, if not millions of people across the world who keep up with UNC and Duke. But that's, again, an example of being creative and thinking about what could I build in this space if indeed people have more ways to gain access to sport content. Hassan Pinto, the founder of Blue Blood. He runs the race event. He's got a documentary on the Carolina Duke men's basketball rivalry. And I know he's had a podcast in the past as well. Carolina grad.
Gotcha. Well, that is a good shout out. And yet another, you know, yet another thing. Oh, if you want some sports content different from what you would normally see, that is a pretty good option. Well,
here's another one.
Find go for
enough
it.
Money and pay one of these persons who got let go.
Also not a bad idea. Also not a bad idea. I think that might be a little tricky for us here at your hometown radio station, 97.9 The Hill. But, you know, we can reach out, see what we can figure out and find who's available out there.
No, we don't need them. We don't need them. I like our lineup.
I agree.
You, we're good.
I agree. Well, we will send you off into the weekend on that note, Deb. Thank you, as always, for chatting with us on Friday, and hope you'll be able to spend some time outside, maybe with it being a little less smoky.
Absolutely. Mask on.